This is Anthony Richardson, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the epic Roster Watch podcast brought to you by RosterWatch.com. My name is Alex Dunlap here, of course, with the Trash Man as we are beginning to take in some news and notes from around the NFL as the second phase of OTAs has started basically today for most of these teams. The only ones that aren't practicing yet, it looks like, are the Cardinals, the Falcons, the Panthers won't be getting in practice. All these guys will be starting tomorrow as we record this. So we're good. No, the Falcons are going. The Cardinals are going. For some reason, Trashman, I thought it was the 30th. But today is indeed the 31st. So we have, I guess, only the Bengals. They'll not be back again until, what, June 5th through the 6th. Other than that, we have basically Trashman, everybody going right now, and there's just a lot of news, a lot of notes. You and I each kind of took some stuff down that we're going to talk about today. Just a quick reminder before we get started, if you guys haven't already, look into a pro membership at RosterWatch.com. We have a bunch of our stuff coming online, beginning to test the redraft cheat sheets that we're going to have up soon in addition to the Dynasty Rookie cheat sheets and the Best Ball cheat sheets in addition to the Dynasty Top 250. Everything like that. And if you can, please like the video and YouTube, subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast, rate and review. All right, Trash Man, first thing I want to talk about is Breece Hall, because it feels like we've been getting sort of mixed messages from you know, different people so far about him. There was the report earlier this week before they got in today where Robert Saleh addressed the media that he was – no sure thing to be ready for week one, right? But then Saleh came in today and he said he's very confident he's going to be ready for week one and that he's clocking right now 22 miles per hour on the catapult. I don't know if it's catapult that they use there, whatever their GPS system's there inside the practice facility. He's clocking 22 miles per hour. And I got to looking at it, 22 miles per hour. If you look at last year, I mean, the fastest ball carriers via Next Gen Stats last season. So first place in a game was Paris Campbell at 22.11 miles per hour in week 18 on a 26-yard rush. Kenneth Walker clocked a 22.09 with a 74-yard rush. After that, Breece Hall was the third fastest as far as on-field ball carriers at 21.87 on that 62-yard rushing touchdown that he had that a lot of folks probably remember in week 7. Other than that, I mean, a bunch of guys hovering right at, you know, 21.7, Deshaun Jackson, Christian Watson, Jalen Waddle, Dalvin Cook, all these guys got hit, you know, 21.5 plus, Devin Duvernay, Tariq Woolen for Seattle. Rashad Bateman right there at 21.5 on that big 75-yard touchdown he had in week 2. So Breece Hall, they're saying, back up to where he was previously as far as, you know, his overall straight-line speed, if we can believe Robert Saleh. He says thinks he's going to be ready to go. But then you listen to guys like Pro Football Doc, and we talked about how he was on the side – I guess that was last week or maybe the week before during the first phase of OTAs and running sprints where he looked pretty fast, right? He was exactly 7 months off the ACL at the point in time that video was taken back on May 23rd. And Dr. David Chow quote tweeted that video and put it up on Sports Injury Central, sixscore.com, a great partner of ours over at Roster Watch. And what Dr. David Chow says is he's making progress, but has a long ways to go. He says, based on the video, he says he favors the left knee considerably. Straight line running and acceleration can come before cutting and deceleration, which is not there yet. not optimistic he'll be 100% for week one. He has a 37 out of 106 score right now over with the Pro Football Docs. So with all that stuff, all that information, I mean, what do we make of this? He's going as the RB11 right now on Underdog is Breece Hall. If you just look at the fantasy points per game last year and half point PPR, which Underdog, that is the format that that is, he was RB7. Do you feel like that discount is right? Which way are you leaning here with the vibes? Because, you know, like we talked about with Javonte Williams, that injury was supposed to be worse, and he was at least working out limited, meaning that he was doing at least some cutting and stuff in practice with the team, even if it was only in half-speed drills. They still don't have Breece Hall doing that stuff. But then again, they're confident he's going to go week one.
I mean, to me, it means that you're handcuffing Michael Carter. You can. I'm fine keeping Breece Hall where he is. Handcuffing Michael Carter for one reason. Well, for two reasons. One being that if Hall can't go, I like Carter and Aaron Rodgers' connection. I think he's a good pass catching back. And the thing is, if Breece Hall does go, I still think Carter gets run as a third down pass catching back in that offense. So at worst, he's a flex on a bad bye week.
Is he a Bandicanda of any interest at all with this, or is it just Michael Carter for you?
I mean,
it feels like
right
if
now,
he can go.
Right like now, can, it's hard to say that a Bandicanda is of interest. We just really haven't seen much from him yet. We already know kind of what we have in Michael Carter.
But do you take Breece Hall above Ramondre Stevenson? Ramondre is going ahead of him right now. I think you have to take him ahead of Ramondre just based on the explosiveness that we've seen, the fact that that offense should be better.
Yeah. I mean,
systemic worries.
I'm sure by now everyone knows how we feel about Ramondre Stevenson.
I have systemic worries about that offense. We have Breece Hall right now as running back 10, and with I got the best ball cheat sheet up to version 3.1 this week. I did 20 tests on 3.1. I didn't get a ton of Breece Hall, and we have him as RB10. So maybe that's starting to pick up, or maybe it has something to do with the structure of the sheet. But I'd like to get a little bit more exposure to Breece Hall if possible. So I'm going to go through and test that some more. Be on the lookout for that in version 3.2 of it. Just a couple more, and then I'll hand it off to you. Just a couple more from the Jets, just because we did have the – you know, they're practicing right now as we record this. We did have Robert Saleh earlier. So Aaron Rodgers is going to be fine, they say, for mandatory minicamp. So no worries about that. He was on the bike just now. He has a sleeve on his calf, and he was walking around. He was on the bike, but they're saying that he's going to be ready to go when they have the mandatory stuff. I believe that starts June 13th for the Jets. They're just being super careful with him. The other thing, so – dude, Garrett Wilson looks awesome out there just versus air. I mean, it's probably not too big a surprise that Garrett Wilson looks really good. But Robert Saleh was just talking about how really, really good he's looked. So something to keep in mind there. The other thing, he was asked about Denzel Mims, and he said that Denzel Mims is competing his butt off and has a chance to make the football team. is there any chance for Denzel Mims whenever you look at this and you figure, you know, the depth charts getting a little bit crowded now, bringing in all these guys, bringing in the Aaron Rodgers guys especially, right?
I mean, I can't really take Mims seriously right now. I mean, I love Mims. I love them coming into the league, but for me right now, Corey Davis is probably the guy I'm taking a stab at, you know.
I don't think – I mean, is Corey Davis going to even make the – like
– As a dark horse for the Jets. I think so.
I think the dark horse for the Jets – I think the dark horse for the Jets, if we're looking at best ball, is Mecole Hardman.
I still like
Corey. You can get him at the same ADP. You get these guys at the end of these drafts, dude.
I think Corey Davis is better than Mecole Hardman.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think there's going to be – I think that Mecole Hardman probably out of the slot. You'll get Garrett Wilson. You'll get Alan Lazard outside. You'll get Hardman.
I think Hardman, you'll get inconsistency like you have with the Chiefs. I feel like –
I mean, you're not going to get inconsistency. Like, so Corey Davis has been the model of consistency?
When he's healthy, when he's on the field, he produces, which I can't say the same for Hardman.
Well, it's Hardman – Hardman could produce. He was more gadgety, but you can't say that when Corey Davis is on the field, he doesn't always produce when he's on the field. He doesn't always produce. Like, come on, man. We're talking about Corey Davis always producing. I mean, what are we saying here? It's like Corey Davis, was he even the top 50 wide receiver last season in fantasy points per game? Corey Davis. No. In 2022, he was not a top 50 wide receiver, and that's in fantasy points per game. So you can't blame injury for it. 2021, and I'm not familiar right off the top of my head with his complete injury history or which games he might have missed any of these games. Wide receiver 39 in 2021. He was behind guys like Russell Gage, behind guys like Darnell Mooney and Henry Ruggs. Just above the Dante Pettises.
I mean, it's 2020 year when he actually had played in more than 13 games. He had almost 1,000 yards, 5 touchdowns.
Okay. So in 2020, Corey Davis, who was then a Tennessee Titan, averaged 11.5 half-point PPR points per game. He was basically a Curtis Samuel, a Kenny Galladay, a Jamison Crowder, or a Robbie Anderson. He was a wide receiver 3, a mid-range wide receiver 3. Look, nobody's drafting Denzel Mims. I was just asking. I mean, do you think he's going to get a fresh start somewhere else?
It's hard to say. I don't know why he hasn't why hasn't popped in on the Jets. If you're not going to pop on the Jets, where are you going to pop?
Well, somewhere else with a better quarterback, right? I mean, he's got a good quarterback now, but it's been shit for the –
Davis has still done better than Hardman if you look at Hardman's totals over the past few years, and Hardman's played more games.
Yes, but I'm talking about Denzel Mims.
Well, I mean, Mims, like I said, if he's not going to pop on the Jets, I don't know where he's going to pop.
That doesn't make sense. Why does that not make sense?
Huh?
Because you're saying if he's not gonna, it's like saying if he's not gonna pop on the Chiefs, he's not gonna pop. That would make sense, right? That's a good team. That's a good quarterback. That's a good. If he's not gonna pop on the Jets, it's saying like, well, of course he's not.
Did gonna Garrett pop on the Wilson Jets. Pop on the Jets?
Yes.
Did Elijah Moore pop on the Jets?
Yes.
Okay, so it's not unfounded that a guy who has talent is gonna pop on a bad team.
But you just talked about the Jets as if they can't do it there, they can't do it anywhere.
Well, I'm just saying, like, if
it's a complete non sequitur, that makes sense.
Where there aren't a ton of all pro caliber receivers, if you can't make the roster on that team, where are you going to make the roster? Where are you going to make a starting roster?
Ding, ding, ding. The argument goes to Alex. Let's move on to the next one. I don't know if you can make a starting roster on a
Are you wearing a are you
literally wearing a trash man hat that says Oscar the Grouch?
See, if you can't make the starting lineup on a your head is filled with group, trash are you gonna make takes. The starting lineup on a good one?
Trashy takes. We have do you have anything or do you want to go back and forth or do you want me to
I have something on your boy Dalton Kincaid.
Yeah, I got that too.
Pump the brakes on him for a minute.
Pump the brakes? What do you mean? Josh Allen targeted him 6 times in practice yesterday.
Bills offensive coordinator Ken Dorsey said of Dalton Kincaid, "We're nowhere close to knowing what the big picture is going to be because we have to learn him and he has to learn us. His role is to be determined."
You're not going to just hand it to him. But Josh Allen yesterday targeted him 6 times during the OTA team period, and 2 of those came in the end zone, reportedly. He didn't catch
anybody. Is everybody at OTAs?
They actually do have most everybody. I mean, they had Gabe Davis. They had Stephon Diggs. They had all their guys. Khalil Shakir is out there. They have everybody. They're making a distinct
Well, I'm seeing. I think they're seeing what they have in the guy. Well, but
yeah, he's a first round pick.
But from the offensive court, that it's not a ringing endorsement for, you know, making this guy your first tight end off the board. You know,
your first tight end in fantasy.
Well, the first tight end that you pick on your fantasy team. If you're going for Dalton Kincaid as your first tight end, I think that's a mistake.
But in Dynasty, you want Dalton Kincaid. And I've switched up the Dynasty rookie cheat sheets now because we were, you know, Michael Mayer was our number one tight end in the class, the, you know, pre-NFL draft. And I was a little bit stubborn sticking to that at first, especially with the super flex tight end premium stuff. I still wanted Michael Mayer. I still kind of do. But this stuff with the whole Jimmy G, what if Jimmy G doesn't pass his physical? And who knows what we'll be left with the Raiders if he's unavailable to go, right, at least for year one. And just this stuff with Kincaid, this stuff with Sam Laporta, right, with the Lions looking so much better. I had to move Michael Mayer down to tight end three as far as Dynasty and Dynasty rookie drafts. I have them all right next to each other in the same exact tier. I'd be happy getting any of the three, but do you agree at least with that slotting? Kincaid, Laporta, Michael Mayer?
I like Laporta number one right now, I think.
Oh, that's perfectly fine. ADPs aren't going to dictate. ADPs wouldn't allow me to do it. It would break the sheet. I think we can still get a lot of Laporta and not get completely blanked on Kincaid or Mayer. But I can understand the sentiment for wanting Laporta the most. You know, he's super athletic. He's a yards after catch guy. He fits what Detroit wants. And they're saying that he's already slated to be the tight end one. Like, you know, you're getting those kind of ring endorsements. Dude, ringing endorsements, speaking of it, I just saw this today on Anthony Richardson.
Yeah.
So is that something that you've said just about how dudes are talking about him? Guys on the team are already buying in?
Well, that he's splitting first team reps with Gardner Minshew.
Yeah. So Jonathan Taylor on Anthony Richardson. It's going to get real scary. Quentin Nelson says that's a guy you want to draft. Grover Stewart says that's the guy that I wanted to get. Gardner Minshew says, wow, this dude's really got a chance. Mo Alley Cox says the sky's the limit for him. Samson Ekubom says, I feel bad for other teams. Ashton Doolin talks about what a great addition he is. I'm not sure how long Ashton Doolin's going to remain on that roster, trash man, but it sure seems like Anthony Richardson's doing a lot to impress these guys. He's done a lot to impress us, not only just via his athleticism and breaking the combine, but also just kind of getting to be around him, addressing there at the combine, from what Byron was able to gather from him, addressing him at the Florida Pro Day. For as mean a machine he looks like, he's actually a real likable dude, and it feels like that the Colts there in the building are becoming real drawn to him. That's an important thing for a rookie quarterback to come in and do, especially one like him who's a little bit like I said, he's a bad dude, but he's a tiny bit soft spoken. You know what I mean? Really nice guy. I was wondering if he was going to have the guys drawn to him like some of these other rah-rah guys that, you know, just come in and try to build it like that.
Hey, when you play like he does, that draws players.
Yeah, man. So, yeah.
Greatness draws adoration.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
What do you think about what about this stuff about Deshaun Watson lobbying to get DeAndre Hopkins?
Well, it just seems like a lot of teams are tepid on Hopkins right now.
It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money
because they have to take on his contract for 2023. But the Cardinals would be off for the Cardinals had to eat like $22 million this year, but at least they're off the hook for 2024. They talk about the Cleveland beat talks about it like it's something that they could make work. You can make anything work. You convert somebody's salary with signing bonus. You pay him out the rest of the, like, I was just, I just saw that James Conner, they just gave James Conner in Arizona, they just gave him a random raise up to like $6.8 million, but like they gave him like $1 million raise this year. Just they converted some kind of salary to, you know, they gave it to him as some kind of signing bonus or workout bonus or all the rest of that stuff. Kind of interesting just on Conner's end alone. He's not a guy that I had pegged as somebody who they would want to be giving a raise to, but they can make anything work. What would it, on the chance that it could be serious there? I know that one of the things I just saw was that, so Amari Cooper's finally back today. Amari Cooper's finally back off that core muscle surgery that he had in the off season. He's there in Cleveland in Berea for the second phase of OTAs. What would that do to an Amari Cooper if DeAndre Hopkins were to come back there and rekindle that relationship with Deshaun Watson? Those two made beautiful music together down in Houston.
I think it's fine for Cooper. I think Cooper tends to work better when the pressure isn't all on him.
Yeah, but finally, right when I get on board with Cooper and just think it could be something good. It's like something like this with DeAndre Hopkins could happen after I've gotten a good bit of exposure to that Watson Cooper stack and best ball this year. I kind of hope for Cooper's sake that it doesn't happen. It's just like our friend Matt Kelly, man, the Podfather, says. The law of the conservation of targets. It's like if DeAndre Hopkins is there, targets are going to go away. That's just plain and simple. So I'm certainly for him. I'm hoping that's not the case.
I mean, that's going to be the case. I mean, wherever he goes, though.
Not if he goes to the Bucks. Have you seen the Bucks quarterbacks? Have you seen how bad this
Trask
thing looks?
Trask and Mayfield,
dude. But have you looked on Twitter and seen the videos of practice today?
No.
It's brutal, trash man. These guys can't hit their wide receivers or tight ends even versus air. It looks like, I mean, they're gonna have to draft, like they might be drafting Caleb Williams next year.
A big year for Rashad White.
Yeah, maybe. It's just more fuel to the fire for me about the Mike Evans stuff we talked about last week, about as much as we love him, this could finally be the year after we've stuck on the train for the whole time when people say he's gonna fall off. I'm worried that this might be the year that he actually does. What else do you got before I read some more of mine?
Chuba Hubbard potentially being a goal line back. Short yardage back for Carolina.
Yeah, I was surprised at some of the numbers that I read. I've read that in a blurb somewhere. Like some of his numbers actually in short yardage were actually pretty good last season. So, I mean, I guess I could get it.
He's a big back. He's over 6 feet tall.
Yeah, Miles Sanders.
210 pounds.
Miles Sanders isn't small.
He's not. I never thought of Sanders as a big back, though, or as a power back.
Sanders is what was he, 213, 215 pounds? What was his weight? Here, let me look it up. What was his weight at the combine? I mean, he's not a small dude. Miles Sanders' weight.
He's 211 pounds, 5'11".
So basically he's got a better BMI than Chuba Hubbard. He's shorter and he's the same weight. I don't buy it. I don't buy the Chuba Hubbard stuff. Chuba Hubbard's not a guy you're just dying to get on the football field. I trust Joe Person. I think he's one of the best beat writers that the Panthers have, but that report out of him just seems like speculation. I'm not gonna chalk up any kind of tuber.
Well, what about – so I touched this on my Dynasty rankings update, but Travis Etienne, his situation in Jacksonville looks a bit more tenuous.
With what? Why?
Well, the Jaguars not wanting to see Etienne take 74% of the running back carries again. Well,
they can't do that again with him, right? I mean, it makes sense. Like we were saying last year, how can this keep up with this Travis Etienne volume?
Right. But Doug Peterson was praising Dearness Johnson, Tank Bigsby, adding them to the backfield. I think it's going to be more of a balanced attack, a committee attack.
No, I agree. And I think in best ball, that's why, well, I mean, in best ball, would you want to take Najee Harris over Travis Etienne?
Yes.
Like, that's just a clear, obvious thing for you. What about Jahmyr Gibbs? It feels like that volume will be similar, and those players to me feel equally dynamic.
Yeah, but I think we know what we have more in Etienne right now.
Yeah, and then I mean the next players after him, it's like there's a drop off after the Najee Harris's of the world, because then you get to the Aaron Jones, the Joe Mixons, the aforementioned Miles Sanders. These are the types of players that are sliding now. Aaron Jones is now creeping up in underdog to late round four. I figure that's going to, we've been trying to kind of stay on that. I've been trying to get as much as I can of that guy in round five of these things. But here's the dude. Do you know something else, Trashman? When I just started running simulations using regular ADPs from some of these sites that we don't have any Yahoo ADPs to pull in yet or ESPN or anything, but some of these smaller sites that are, I guess Sleeper is not a smaller site, but Sleeper, RT Sports, Fantrax, these drafts aren't going anything like the underdog drafts. Receivers are going so early and in such mass quantity on underdog. And it might just be because of the nature of these, these tournaments that I buy into to test it. The roster construction, that could be what's important, but I don't think that Aaron Jones is a guy who we've gotten so used to talking about him as like a fifth round pick, and Javonte Williams and David Montgomery's eighth round picks and stuff. It's not going to be like that when it comes to true redraft season. It's just it's not going to be like that. Guys like Etienne, who you just mentioned just now, who we're looking at, maybe you get value on him at the beginning of the fourth round. It's like he's going to be more like a mid third round kind of pick, at least whenever we get into true redraft season. What about JSN? Like, have you seen any of the videos of Jackson Smith and Jigba? Lou's just, I mean, God, he looks good. He always looks good. I had written him off and said, man, Seattle, he's got DK Metcalf, he's got Tyler Lockett, but JSN looks good. Geno looks comfortable throwing it to him.
Well, I mean, like, I wasn't worried about JSN looking good. I was worried about his target share.
No, I mean, I get that. I get that. And it could still be bad. It could. If he's only if he gets a 17% target share, which is about where you could peg it, it isn't going to be enough for a guy like him who we're going to want to depend on later on in his career in Seattle as a guy that can just generate massive volume and then just do a lot with it afterwards.
One guy I did notice that his pass catching prowess is being put on display is Antonio Gibson for Washington.
Yeah, man. We've talked about it, how Antonio Gibson could be the biggest beneficiary of Eric Bieniemy being there. That's what one Washington Commanders source that's out of practice all the time told us.
Well, of him being there and with really no other pass catching back on with McKissick being gone.
They say they want to get Brian Robinson more involved in it. I was just reading earlier at camp earlier today. One thing from Commanders camp is that they say that – so Sam Howell apparently has had an up-and-down day. But they say, like, his ups are beautiful, they say. But up and down, I saw that – I saw he did throw a pick in 7-on-7s there in the end zone. But it was a deflected ball, so hard to pin that all on him. They were also, man, that like Bieniemy stopped practice because of a Brian Robinson fuck up with his pre-snap motion. So they redid the snap. Robinson got it right. Then Bieniemy said, all right, now do it all over again from the very beginning and do it right. He was tilted with Brian Robinson.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of value to be had for Gibson, especially in PPR formats.
So if I talked to you about this before, about how he feels like he's going, I'd say it feels like he's going, but let me just look and see exactly where.
No.
To me, it feels like he's going right there around the same time as, he is. Like, Devon Achane is going before him. He's going around the same time as Damian Harris. And you know, just a little bit before, about a round before the Kendre Millers and the Roschon Johnsons of the world. I think that's a little bit of a sweet spot in these drafts to be able to pick up maybe a couple running backs. If you need them late, you can get an Antonio Gibson and a Roschon or a Kendre. One of these.
Man, if you could get A-Chain and Gibson, I think that'd be electric.
Yep. Devin Singletary, not Devin Singletary. Well, I do have a Devin Singletary note, but here's my note on it. James Cook, the Bills beat is basically saying that he looks like the RB1 over Damian Harris. He's put on weight, looks great catching the football. It's like this
how
is what
he put on?
To be. I don't know. They just the report is he put on weight. Are you buying it at all? And do you like James Cook more than and kind of an enigmatic Alvin Kamara pick right now?
I mean, James Cook, he's closer to Devin Singletary than Damian Harris. I mean, oh, wow. A fox just came into my backyard.
It did?
Yeah.
Was it a red fox or a gray fox?
It's a gray fox.
That's cool, man. Keep those little dogs out of the way.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, I just climbed a fence. I'm sorry. It's pretty insane.
Man, that's cool.
James Cook, 190 pounds, have him listed as right now. I mean, if he adds 10 pounds of muscle, but he's 5'11", 200 pounds. I mean, what I liked about his video in college is that he could run as a first two down back. He could run as the feature back in an offense.
Do you believe he's the RB1 over Damian Harris? I think he is. And if we're just going to be depending on goal line work for Damian Harris, then we have to consider the fact that Josh Allen's a sick goal line back.
That's
it's like
true.
People will say like, well, he's just going to get work between the 20s. And it's like, well, that's going to be also some pass catching work and some other stuff. Like, I'd like to know though, James Cook and Alvin Kamara, it's basically a toss up with their ADPs right now. Do you have a preference? Would you rather take the bird in hand? That's a young player on a good football team that's like ready to go and doesn't have any issues floating over his head, or Alvin Kamara, who now I did see that what Dennis Allen brought in John Gruden this week. John Gruden's there with the Saints right now, helping Derek Carr and Pete Carmichael with the install of their 2023 offense and stuff. I think Gruden's a guy who I wouldn't mind having around installing an offense if I was looking for a guy like Kamara to get involved in a pass catching role.
I mean, it's hard not knowing what's going to happen with Kamara.
I think you have to take James Cook.
You have to
right
take
now.
James Cook.
Yeah, I think so too. But it's a tough decision to make there. Whenever that kind of comes up, which is the ADP, they both have an ADP. Was it 95 and 99?
And then so, you take Cook, and then you get Miller a little bit later in hopes that you get a piece of that offense.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I get that. One other thing, like, yeah, this is just the just a couple notes from. Do you have anything else? Like, I just had a couple notes from Texas camp. I mean, this is for me. It's the you know just what doing on some of the live streams that they had up. They were doing the running back drills. Damian Pierce is still the lead run. Like, he's the first up in all the running back drills. It's pretty clear who the lead dog is. He's the big pit bull there. But yeah. Devin Singletary is second one up. From the little that I've seen, C.J. Stroud looks so much better than Davis Mills throwing the football. It's like, I mean, it's like, it really, you know.
I don't feel as bad as dropping him in that league now.
He can
drop him in that league.
Yeah, he can drive it on the deep out routes. He's got that placement. It's just versus air right now, but it's like he looks a lot better than the rest of these guys. So I think CJ Stroud, I know that he, you know, started out, they were giving him some second team work and stuff like that. It was this time what they were doing is they were doing it where they have both the quarterbacks, one on each side, throwing the different routes to the different sides of the field, and they had Mills and Stroud both out there.
I think the worry about Stroud is not that he can't throw the kind of balls that he needs to. It's his composure under pressure, in my opinion.
So one of the key reason I'm so interested in Stroud is because if you are playing these underdog tournaments and you get in trouble with your second quarterback, he's a guy you can always, always, always get, you know, super, super late in these deals. I mean, CJ Stroud is going right now. At pick 190, he's basically available with one of your last picks in the draft. And there are other guys who are going to be available with one of your last picks in the draft, like Tank Dell, like John Mechie, like, and Mechie, by the way, not back at practice just yet. We talked about that before, the hamstring. He's still missing practice with that, but still, I mean,
I feel like you got to do those drafts now then, because I feel like Stroud won't stay that low.
Yeah, but it's so easy to not only get that second quarterback, but just to build that second quarterback stack. It's that move is actually built into the best ball cheat sheet, to where if you get in trouble at quarterback, you're gonna get Stroud and you're gonna get Tank Dell, and you're gonna have a chance at Mechie. Just to have that backdoor stack there with your second quarterback. Sometimes even if you want to, like, a third quarterback, you can add a third quarterback in these. You can do a three quarterback build. I feel like as long as that third quarterback is a stacked quarterback to give you some extra options in case, you know, you get to the, you know, you get through these crazy playoff, you know, scenarios in these giant best ball tournaments and have some kind of off the wall stack there at the very end, that if it goes off, you know, who knows what could happen. And you know that the Texans, when you get to week 17, are, you know, they're not going to be playing for much. And even if a guy like Tank Dell doesn't come on during the course of the season, that could be a week where he goes off, where they're saying, like, let's just see what we have in these guys for next year.
What week was it last season that I started doing those best ball drafts?
What week in the year, whenever you started doing the live streams?
Yeah.
I think we started doing those in right after the NFL draft.
Okay.
Right after we did the deal with Underdog. So, yeah, but now's a good time to be doing it. So, those are some of the notes that I've taken. Of course, you know, you can keep following us on Twitter at Roster Watch. We'll be retweeting out stuff that we see and keeping you up to date. Trashman will be back Friday with another podcast. We're going to move to a Monday, Wednesday schedule moving forward here in the summer. Trashman, do you have anything else you want to get to before we get out of here?
Well, it was just interesting. Been looking at, you know, Hopkins maybe going to the Chiefs, and the Chiefs actually considering Tony as being potentially a number one, or having the caliber of a number one receiver.
All he's got to do is stay healthy.
Yeah.
All he got to do is stay healthy, and he's got to quit. Look. Here's the plan for Kadarius Tony. All right. Stay healthy and stay off the golf carts.